I will meet you in the morning in the bright riverside, when all sorrow has drifted away. I'll be standing at the portals when the gates open wide, at the close of life's long dreary day. Change the old cross for a crown. There will be no disappointments, and nobody shall die in that land where life's sun goeth down. I'll meet you in the morning, in the morning,
in the morning,
with a how do you do,
how do you do,
and we'll sit. Of that city of gold, where we all can be together and be happy forever, while the years and the ages shall roll. I'll
meet you in the morning,
meet you in the morning,
with a how do you do,
how do you do,
and we'll sit down by the
Darren, can we do one of the fun songs? We got to do one of the fun songs. Bear Tracks. I'm just getting a ring.
It's your problem.
All right. Hey, upon the mountain, tell me what you see. Bear tracks coming after me. You better get your rifle before it's too late. Bear's got a little pig and he's heading for the gate. And he's big around the middle and he's wide across the rump. Running 90 miles an hour, taking 30 feet a jump. He ain't never been caught, he ain't never been treed. Some folks say he looks a lot like
Russ.
Amen. Is this all right to sing from?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side there I dimly described a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried, ship ahoy!
was the old ship of Zion, thus sailing along. All aboard her seemed joyous, I heard their sweet song. And the captain's kind ear, ever ready to hear, caught my wail of distress as I cried out. Commanded a boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion he took me on board. And I'm happy today, all my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior, and now I can. Strong arm of our captain is mighty to save. Then trust him today, no longer delay, for the old ship of Zion, and shout on your way. Jesus saved.
We have enjoyed the Tharp brothers singing. And you know, you bring people in and to sing and they're sick. What do? They sing anyway. Brother Russ and Brother Eric have been battling some problems with their throat and upper respiratory problems and head problems and they're singing anyway. They pulled Brother Gomez and I up here the other day and had us sing with them. And Brother Ogde said when they sing, they're shouting in heaven. When Brother Gomez and I sing, there's confusion in heaven. And the confusion is among the seraphim, because they've only got six wings. Two, they fly. With two, they cover their body. With two, they hide their face before the throne of God. And the confusion comes in. They don't know which two to use to stick in their ears. One of the sorrows of the ministry is seeing people you started out with that make left turns and go away from their foundation, go away from what they'd been taught, go away from the book. And it's discouraging, disheartening to preachers, to see their fellow laborers giving up in the harvest field, going back the other direction. One of the joys of the ministry is to see that young preacher starting out and just keeps on. He's not affected by what others do. He just keeps on. He don't go to the right or the left when you're on track. You just keep on. And that's been the story of Brother Buchanan's life. He got on track with Jesus and he just kept on going. He's not been worried about what others are doing and the direction others are going. He just keeps on preaching the same book, the same doctrine about the same Savior, building, working, believing in the ministry of the local New Testament church, not being swayed or influenced by those around him. He just keeps on going for God. And it's good to come down toward, as you near the latter part of your ministry, to be able to see fellow laborers that have been faithful and have been friends. Brother Buchanan, thank you for all you mean to me and to the cause of Jesus Christ. Thank you for being a great example for preachers across this country. We love you and thank God.
Preacher, I love you, brother. Well, I owe this preacher more than I can tell him, and I mean that. Great blessing in my life, encourager, helped me when I was a young fella, and I love him and appreciate him so much. And there's something about giving accolades to people. It's okay to do that. The Bible says to honor is due, and Brother Smith has many, many rewards in heaven, and every reward I get, he gets, and it's a blessing to be here. It's good to see my good friend, Brother Woodenbarger. He and I almost got kicked out of Bible college together, and it was all his fault. It wasn't my fault. It was all his fault. It's good to see some other guys. It's always good to have Miss Buchanan with me. We've been married 94 years now. That's 47 next month, isn't it? On the 16th, isn't it? Give me a hand, fellas. I remember that. Give me a hand. All right. Sir? Well, I just said that to make her feel good, brother. And good to see Brother Carl. In a minute, he'll come with a Bible commentary and dictionary. And so we want to get busy. Amen? Turn to Isaiah chapter 59, please. Isaiah chapter 59. Little boy was standing on a street corner, and a preacher was new in town, and he came by, and he said, son, he said, I'm new here. He said, where's the post office? The little kid said, sir, if you'll just keep going right down the road there, take a left, and if you look right on the right, you'll see the post office. And he said, the little boy, he said, if you'll come to our church Sunday, I'll tell you how you can get to heaven. He said, you don't even know where the post office is. Ending his sermon, the preacher announced that he would preach on knowing the ark on the following Sunday, and he gave the scriptural reference for the congregation to read ahead of time. And a couple of boys noticed something interesting about the placement of the story in the Bible, so they slipped into the church and glued two pages of the pulpit Bible together. The next Sunday, the preacher got up and read his text, Noah took unto him a wife, he began, and she was, he turned the page to continue, 300 cubits long. And she was 50 wide and 30 high. He paused, scratched his head, turned the page, read it silently, turned the page again, then looked up at his congregation and said, I've been reading this old Bible for 50 years, but there's some things in there that's just hard to believe. Amen. Hard to believe. Now, they always say the middle kid's the problem, but I'm not going to be the problem today, I promise you. In the room this morning, there's a future of this country in this room. All you kiddos, raise your hand. Raise it up good and high. Now, here's the future of this country. I wanted to preach to preachers, but I'm going to do something a little bit different. Isaiah chapter 59, stand if you will, please, in honor of the Word of God. And you do have the Word of God in your hand. You don't have to worry about it. And I'm fearful for people who mess with it. I really am. And I used to like to hear Brother Roloff say, don't mess with my mama. And by the way, he said, fellas, if you have to get your hair done, you're done. Brother Smith walked up to me and Brother Gomez yesterday, and he said, Brother Buchanan, when you was younger, did you have long hair? I said, no, I had some hair. And he said, usually those who had long hair get bald early. No, that's my dad's fault and all that stuff. It's good to have Miss Buchanan with me. I like for her to come. She's one of my best critics and one of my best helps. Isaiah 59, bear with me, reading verse 9. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, and to behold obscurity, for brightness, but walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Now I'm describing America to you today. We roar all like bears and mourn like sore doves. We look for judgment, but there's none. For salvation, but it's far from us. Now look at verse 12, very important. I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to read a couple more verses. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, help me read the last three words of verse 12. We know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking in oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Without truth, there's no judgment. No judgment. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us a glimpse of the Holy Lamb of God just a moment ago. Thank you for the good heart that it came from. Lord, thank you for this country where we can do this. No one stood at the front door here this morning and took our Bibles or kept us from coming in here. And we need to be double thankful for that. And Lord, thank you for all these good men of God who have great works and heavy burdens. Lord, thank you for this great church and Brother Smith. And I prayed for him because I know that all of us are under pressure, but in a meeting like this, there's multiplied pressure upon the pastor, the leader. Bless him, encourage him, help him. Thank you for this good church. Now, Lord, help me today. I mean it. I want to preach a message, and especially to these young people. And, Lord, I don't want to waste anyone's time here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You already know what Psalms 11, verse 3, the Bible says, if the foundations be what? Say it. What can who do? Righteous do. Now, America was founded on the right foundation. It was founded on the Word of God. Patrick Henry said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by revolutionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. John Adams said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Our leaders don't know what it says now. They don't know what the Constitution says. Daniel Webster said, as Secretary of State for three U.S. presidents, was asked what was the greatest thought that would ever pass through his mind. He replied, my accountability to God. Ronald Reagan said, without God, there is a coarsening of the society. Without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. Ronald Reagan said, if we ever forget that we were one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. If you ever go to California, you need to go to the Reagan Library. And the only thing about that is when you walk out of there, you'll know that that'll never happen again. When Ronald Reagan was president, he has the last Air Force One when it was a smaller plane. And a little sergeant of arms lady was in there. The wife and I had the privilege of being in there when I was out preaching for Brother Chaplin. She said, I want to tell you a story. She said Ronald Reagan was flying somewhere across the world and they had to stop and gas up at in a Muslim country. And so they radioed ahead and said, we need to stop and gas up Air Force One. And the Muslim leader said, you will have to stop beforehand and cover up the American flag. And Ronald Reagan said, tell them we don't cover up this flag for nobody. Well, come on. What color is your blood? And they said, well, come on in. Every institution must have a strong foundation. Every institution. The home, the church, the nation, the business, and the country. Now, the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed. Listen to me close. You're going to think I'm a little off base here for a moment, but I want you to listen close. Number one, the culture is birthed from the foundation. The law, the economy. What's wrong with our economy now, folks? Because there's no foundation. Listen to me, kids. Industry, personal values. If you don't have a good foundation in your life, you're not going to have personal values. And if it's not the Word of God, you're not going to have any personal value. So-called religion, respect for leaders, respect for public and private property, which is about gone, education, and the home. All of this must be birthed from the foundation. Now, the word culture means, listen close, the ideals, customs, skills, arts of a given people in a given period. A civilization's emotions, manners, interests, tastes that come from the mind. And I said to you, number one, listen close, culture is birthed from the foundation. Now, think about our culture in America today. You look at the foundation of any people and you can see its culture. What's the foundation of Muslims? Wild men, that's what the Bible says. And so what's their culture? No respect, no thought for human life. What's the culture of a headhunter before a missionary gets there? What's the culture of any nation or anything before someone takes the Word of God to them? Now, listen to me close. Since the music foundation in America had become country and western, rock and roll, soft rock, hard rock, so-called Christian and contemporary, what's happened to our culture? Come on, help me. What has happened to our culture? Come on, folks. What's happened to the culture? Or what's happened to our minds? Remember, culture is the ideals, the skills, the art of a given people in a given period, a civilization's emotions, manners, interests, tastes that come from the mind. And what has happened to our culture since music has taken over? Now, I think I heard it right, and I listened again and again on purpose on the news, and I really think, I may be wrong, if I am, don't correct me, because I'm an independent, temperamental, old-fashioned, independent Baptist preacher, and you can't tell me nothing. They're reviewing now that last thing that Michael Jackson was going to do. And I said to my wife, listen, one part on there, he says, I am the light of the world. How many heard that? Guess where he is today? He's shoveling coal with the Pope. Brother Seth, who's full-blood Cajun, used to be my assistant pastor in And he's in Texas now, and he said he never would go to the promised land, but he's over there. The Lord didn't want it, so he promised it back to the devil. But anyway, he and I was getting a haircut, and the barber was a Catholic, and he said, I don't know what came up. As a matter of fact, it's amazing, infallibility can't die, and when he was shot, it hurt, you know. And he said, where do you think the Pope is? And I said, shoveling coal with Hitler. And he was shaving my outline. Now, Brother Zett used to be an awful bad guy before he got saved, and he got in fights, he'd take his clothes off to keep getting blood on him, and God saved him, and that's wonderful, and all that stuff. And he was reading the newspaper, and he said, afterwards, he said, preacher, do you know that guy had a razor on your neck? I said, yeah, but you was here, I wouldn't worry. Anyway, now, Manson curses Bible and Christians. At the Ozzy Fest concert, this several years ago in Denver, June 21, Satanist Marilyn Manson cursed the Bible and Christians and claimed that God is a bad influence. Manson held up a Bible and cursed it and led the crowd of 23,000 young people in cursing Christians who had tried to stop the appearance of the concert. Manson read from the book of Psalms and then asked the crowd, now I ask you, who is the worst influence, God or Marilyn Manson? And the right crowd said, God! When's the last time you got 23,000 Christians together to hear the Word of God? Now, some of you don't like what I'm saying, but since the music of the generation, listen to me, folks. When I was in Wichita Falls, Texas, mental hospital there, and they said they knew I'd wind up there sooner or later, they asked some of us if we wanted to come out and talk to some of those inmates. And I almost was one myself one time, and I said, okay. So we went out there, and they had the Catholic priest here, and, you know, he's sitting at the head, and they call him Father. If he ever fathered anything, it's illegitimate, and all that kind of stuff, you know. I wouldn't listen to a guy who wears a dress and a little beanie. I just, you know. He said, I don't think you ought to disrespect that. You need to get saved. You need to get born again. And the Presbyterian and whiskey-paying guy was there and all that stuff. And then they had these old drunks over here, and so the Catholic priest, he said, how long have you fellows had this disease? And they got to me and I said, how long have y'all been drunks? And a couple of them smiled, you know, And, well, if it's a disease, we sell it, make money off of it. As a matter of fact, we're trying to kill cigarettes, but we let that keep going. Amen. And so they let us split up. I want you to listen. And I had a couple of them. I went to a room with them. One of them looked at me, he said, "Preacher, you're right. We're just old drunks." One of them said, "I used to travel with Hank Thompson and those guys," and he said, "Before every concert, one of them," he said, "he'd take a fifth of whiskey and shoot it right in his mouth." Now, some of you worship that kind of music. And he said, "It shoots up in his arm." Listen to me. The culture of America has changed because a foundation has been destroyed. Now, look at me, folks, and don't say it's too late. We have to rebuild that foundation. You say it's hopeless. It wasn't hopeless for Elijah. It wasn't hopeless for Moses. And my Bible says if God's people who are called by his name, is that right? And so what you and I have to do, we have to go back and rebuild the foundation. Now, young people, this is heavy, but you're going to have to help us do this. You are the future of this country. You're going to have to, you say, that's not right. Yes, it is. Daniel, hey, look, Daniel took a stand when he's 17. And Joseph took a stand. Hey, get some grit, get some gut, take a stand, man. You can rebuild this country. And if you don't do it, the rest of us are going to be hung according to Obama's plan. Amen. They're going to do away with us. And so you listen to me, young people. You better watch what's been pumped in your mind, and you better watch what you're listening to, because it's going to change your culture. It doesn't have a solid foundation at all. Hey, listen to me. Since TV's come along, and I have a television, and I have the privilege of turning it off. Now, but since TV is taking over the country, what is the average marriage like today, folks? The man is dumbed down. He's made to look stupid, look like a bum, and all that kind of stuff. And if the woman don't have a career, she's not a woman. See, most mamas have traded a baby for a briefcase, and that's okay if that has to be done. And I know we have single moms and all that stuff. But used to, mama wanted to stay at home. She wanted to rear kids. But that's not cultural anymore. Hey, since permissivism has taken over, we have more unwed mothers than we've ever had. We've got more abortions than we've ever had. Since evolution has taken over, and humanism has become the foundation of America. I don't care what you say, and so is evolution. And it was said this week by Brother Puget, it is only a thought, it is only a theory, and it's never been proved. And you listen to me, now that's what's being pumped. And so our culture has changed immediately, and it's changed for the worse. And when we had Bill Clinton, we had a perfect 60s culture generation guy. And now we got worse. Listen at this, right quickly. I have to read this because my mind's so bad I can't remember. I want you to listen to what Jefferson said. Here's what he said. Now listen close. He said this. He said, "The right to life. The Declaration of Independence is saying that it agrees with God." Well, how about that? When's the last time you heard that out of some slick politician? That was the foundation of this country. Here's what he said. "The Declaration of Independence saying that it agrees with God. All men have unique value because all are made in God's own image. Therefore, human life is sacred." That was the foundation of this country. "Therefore, human life is sacred, demanding to be treated with respect and dignity by all men. Unless the civil state recognizes this interpretation of the right to life, the next foundational value," what am I talking about, folks? He said the next foundational value spoken of and concerning the word liberty becomes mere hollow rhetoric unless individual men respect human life and practice individual self-restraint in regard to the lives of others. Listen to me. He said abuse denies value rooted in the purpose of God and diminishes the liberty of the abused. Likewise, if a man must be forcibly restrained from tyrannical conduct, he too loses liberty only through self-restraint. What is that anymore, folks? Self-government, which respects the sanctity, dignity, and value of all human, can men enjoy liberty. Now, that was our founding. That was our foundation, kids. And let me tell you something. In the public school, they're not hearing that. They just got through saying that Columbus was a mean guy and awful and sorry and all that stuff. I read that in our newspaper. Jefferson said, "Finally, men must be free to pursue happiness." Interestingly, the key concept clearly understood here by our founding fathers was that of private property, the right to win. If you go fight a war, you ought to break things, blow things up, kill people, destroy them. Read the Old Testament. You say, you're cruel. Well, let's go join that crowd, Slick. Amen. He said, the right to win, control, inherit, and steward private property within one's family and their world, freedom to own, was the epitome of pursuing happiness. This freedom to produce and steward wealth was central to the concept of liberty. Now, folks, we have a government that wants to take everything you got away, and they want to own it and tell you when to breathe and not to breathe and what to say and not what to say. And that's what's happening in this country. Now, listen to this. You think I'm screwball in the head? Only hope is to rebuild a new culture consensus. Culture consensus. So, the foundation must be rebuilt in America. The foundation must be built on bedrock truth. The culture consensus must be what constitutes truth. Now, so I said to you, number one, please listen right quickly. Culture is birthed from the foundation. What is truth? Not what about truth. Brother Fugate started and he didn't have time. It's not what about truth, but what is truth? Secondly, what constitutes truth? Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is true. Thy word is true. Now, from the consensus of the truth will come what we hold to be reality, good or evil. And the Bible says, you don't compare. The Bible says you know the difference between good and evil. Isaiah said there'll day when they'll call evil good and good evil. That's what he said. And that's the day in which we live. Because our foundation's been destroyed. The truth has been destroyed. Listen to me. Truth must be the cement that holds the foundation together. And if it's not, we don't have any foundation. How come there's such a battle over posting 10 commandments in front of public buildings? Because it's pretty bad to look at that and say, do not commit adultery. It's pretty bad to look at that and say, love your neighbor as yourself. See, that's the truth. And our average person today, especially politics, he don't want to see the truth. He wants you to believe what he thinks is truth. And we're in trouble today, kids. We need your help. We need it bad. Listen to what Webster said. Here's what he said. Boy, I like this. He explained that the religion which brings political freedom is not a formal exercise. Well, put that in your pipe smoking. Not ecclesiastical dogma, whatever that means. Brother Carl will explain that in a minute. Not the result of any denominational establishment. No, the religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ. And the apostles, hang on now, hang on. The religion of Christ and the apostles, which enjoin humility, piety, and benevolence, which acknowledges in every person a brother or a sister and a citizen with equal rights, this is genuine Christianity, and to this we owe our free constitution of government. It is the real source of all genuine republican principle. That's what this country was built on. Now listen to me. Real truth has to be rooted in the culture. What's truth now? It's whatever you want it to be. Bill Clinton said, what does is mean? Good Lord, I thought the guy was a Rhodes Scholar. So what his interpretation of truth was is what he wanted it to be. You need to read a little book called Inside Access by an ex-FBI agent that worked in the White House. And they didn't sue him because they couldn't. Because it's absolute truth what he had. He finally resigned. He said, I couldn't take it anymore when Bill Clinton was in there. Now listen to me, folks. Listen. What's on all the justice buildings in D.C.? Somebody tell me. Scripture. Why? Because that was the foundation of this country. Now, listen to me. You say this will never happen. Well, if you don't believe that, just go on out and shoot yourself. A majority of the people must agree upon foundational truth. And that's going to come from this group. You got to do it. You got to do it. Hey, these guys back here we're talking about, they started like you, young. These weren't old men like Brother Smith, us. They were young men that stood up for this country. You name me 56 men in your church today that will stand up like those 56 guys did. Name me 56 men in your church. I don't care if you're running thousands. Life, liberty, and what? Say it, folks. Yeah, and what they say, we give our lives, our sacred honor, and our what? And they didn't. You can't even get people to support missions. You're not. You don't. I don't mean to be discouraged. So you kids have got to do it. And I'm not. And by the way, folks, we don't fool this group. They may act stupid, but they ain't stupid. They sized me up within 3 minutes while I was up here preaching. Amen. Now, kids, you got to do it. You got to rise up. Hey, I'm going to do what I can to leave you something of a country, but I'm on the other side now. And so I'm almost gone. And so you're going to have to rise up, kids, and you're going to have to come back and say, we're going to cement the Word of God in our homes and our family and business and everything. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. In my city, one of the best restaurants in town, one of the very best ones, and I'm talking about seafood, a guy, Catholic, don't even open on Sunday except for Mother's Day. Now, what's his deal? God owns Chick-fil-A. Is that open on Sunday? No. Listen, you say, well, it's a necessity. It's because we have created that. We have created all of these things. I'm about 25 maybe minutes or less from where Brother Ogden pastors, and I went to high school over there. Diamond Hill. That's where I went to high school. Brother Gomez, every morning, listen to me, every morning, without fail. When the bell rang at 8 o'clock, preacher, you were in your seat in homeroom. And guess what? Your shirt tail was tucked in. And guess what? There wasn't no girls wearing breeches. And I ain't going to preach on that because somebody makes you mad. And you didn't have hair down over your ears as a boy. The first thing the principal said was, good morning, students. We're going to have the reading of the Bible. Now, I wasn't saved. I was lost as a goose in a hailstorm. And sorry and no good for nothing. But there was some influence. At least, listen, every day, he said that. I even read it myself. It didn't mean anything to him. But at least I had that influence. We don't have that anymore. My history teacher made us memorize the Beatitudes. She made us memorize them. I mean, in history class, we had to stand up and quote the Beatitudes from the King James Bible. How come I remember that? In Louisiana, they had to pass a law to make young people say, yes, ma'am. They really did. They spent a lot of time on that one dumb law. That's just a normal thing. Now, when truth is spoken, a majority must know what the truth is. Do you know most of the sayings that your grandma and grandpa used came from the Bible? Do you know that? And you know most of them did not work on Sunday? Hey, you say, but we have created that in our culture. We either got a God that can take care of us or he can't take care of us. Now, so you and I, and young people, you've got to help me do this. We've got to go back and we've got to take this Bible and we've got to tell everybody, this is true. This is the Word of God. And it either is or it isn't. And we've got to instill people. And when we talk about truth, I mean, just talk about truth to the average person today. Talk to them. They don't know what truth is because they don't know what the Bible says. Oh, listen to me. This is very important. I'm like Brother Gary, so I got a paper here, a paper there, a paper everywhere. Listen to this. You ready? Okay. Oh, beautiful. For he rose, proved in liberty's strife. Who more than self their country loved. And mercy more than strife. Now I want you to listen to the last stanza of every stanza of America the Beautiful. Number one, God shed his grace on thee. Second one, God's mend thine every flaw. Third one, may God thy gold refine. Fourth one, God shed his grace on thee. Till all success be no nobleness and every grain divine. Now, that's what we used to sing in a public school. That ain't happening now. You can sing rock and roll. You can sing anything you want to. And by the way, folks, let me tell you something. It's taken over everywhere. And what's wrong? You never get tired of hearing victory in Jesus. My song leader's grandfather wrote that song. Grandpa Bartlett. Let me tell you something. He said, I heard about his cleansing. I heard about his healing and his cleansing, power of healing, cleansing. How he made the lame to walk again and called the blind to see. I didn't know this for years. In his latter years, Grandpa Bartlett had some kind of disease. And he said, God, don't heal my body, just heal my spirit. And somehow he came to me. Is that what it says? And heal my broken spirit. You're not going to find that in Bebopalula. She's my baby. You're not going to find Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like Keith Gomez. Every time I'm standing beside him, we're singing Deep in Sin. He's going, woo, woo, wow. And then he says, he realizes where he's at. You'll catch that later. I finally got one of my neighbors to come to church. You know, it's hard to get your neighbors because they watch you. I don't let them look at my garbage can. Anyway. She came, and I was preaching on the family Sunday. We had family day and pushing for the start of our campaign. We had a great day. And she used to come, wouldn't come because she'd tell my wife, I don't have the kind of clothes. And I said to her, I mowed her yard the other day. And I said, now, Susan, you owe me. You say you oughtn't approach it that way. I don't care how, as long as you can get them in, buddy, I don't care how you do it. Men Woodenbarger used to say, we'd bet to see a flea jump on an elephant. That just gets somebody to come to church. We've kind of forgot that now. And you know who's going to win that fight. Anyway. And she came. She told my wife later, she said, I wished my former husband would have been sitting there. Because I preached on the dad and the man, like we heard last night, ought to be the leader. He ought to be the strength. Come on, fellas. Every home, as long as dad's there, ought to feel like everything's okay. Now, where she's going to church, she don't hear that. That's what used to be the norm. Hey, you know Lewis Bridges. You know his story. He was a circuit riding preacher. And he rode over a little hill one day, and this has not just been dramatic, and he looked down, and his house was burnt to a crisp. And he got down there, and the men were standing around. They said, Preacher, we did everything we could while you was off preaching, but your wife and family perished in this fire. And he walked through those ashes, and he said, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. You ain't going to get that from some long-haired, bob-head guys. That's in this book. Now, listen to me. We've got to change the whole culture, kids, to get this foundation back together. I've got to hurry. I'm hungry. Look in Acts chapter 10 right quickly. Acts chapter 10. Now, if the foundation be destroyed, what happens, folks? What can a righteous do? You and I are the righteous. Amen. We're the saved people. We need to work hard to get this foundation back. I'm going to do my part. I'm not just going to lay down and quit. I'm going to do my part for my kids, my grandkids. I mean this. Look in Acts 10. Look in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. Now, when our Declaration of Independence said all men are created equal, it didn't mean they were created equal physically. We know that. They're not created. Matter of fact, Jefferson said that. I've got that here. They're not created equal mentally, but in God's eyes. Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what you looked on now as a fundamental independent. You looked on as a dummy, bumbling, stupid idiot. Because they don't know the truth. Look in verse 35. Acts 10. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable with him. That's what we got to do again. Right quickly, and I'm through. Listen to this. I love this. Boy, I love this. Daniel Webster. Here's what he said, and I won't read all of it. He said, the scriptures were intended by God to be the guide of human reason. Is that what your city council uses? Is that what your governor uses? They used to. Is that what our now so-called leader uses? He said, this is no longer a Christian nation. He's right. He said, it's just a nation of ideals and thoughts. That's what he said. Now, I pray for him. I pray that God will confuse his mind. And his days will be few. I'm sorry. You say, I don't pray that way. You say, I pray that he gets saved. That's fine. But as long as he's not saved, I hope he can't think straight. And he ain't thinking straight now. Matter of fact, I'd like for him to go and get him like they did Nebuchadnezzar. You know, God told Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to be out in the field like the beast. And all of a sudden that happened. He'd wake up and Nebuchadnezzar said, oh, I know that thou art the God. Wouldn't that be good? Daniel Webster said the scriptures were intended by God to be the guide of human reason. Now, when I preach, really, I'd rather break something or tear something up or fix something. But I'm trying to help you. The creator of man established the moral order of the universe. Franklin Graham came to our city called Rock the River. Rock the River. Now, I should have kept a picture of that group that was rocking the river. One of them, you could see the demons crawling out of his eye. You say, how you know that? Because they used to be my best buddies, the demons, the devil. And when you preachers going to get some discernment? I mean, and listen, people paid $10, listen to me, paid $10 to go there, and it was this age right here. Packed it. He plainly said on television and in our newspaper, if you don't like hard, loud rock music, don't come. That's what he said. I wonder if those guys go to an independent, old-fashioned, bloating a bottle, spit in the sand, jumped over the wall, hallelujah, shouting in Baptist church. I wonder if they got a preacher like Brother Ogden saying, you ought to see Jesus. I wonder if they support me. Hey, I wonder if they got a preacher getting up and saying, hey, we're going soul winning Thursday and Saturday. So don't get mad at me if they're not doing that. What are they going to get? They're not even saved. Listen to this. He says, the scriptures were intended by God to be the guide of human reason. The creator of man established the moral order of the universe, knowing that human reason left without a divine guide or rule of action. Hang on. Would fill the world with disorder, crime, and misery. A great portion of mankind, ignorant of this guide or rejecting its authority, have verified the fact. And the history of 3,000 years is a tissue of proof that human reason left to itself can neither preserve morals nor give duration to a free government. Hello. Now, one time I had the mayor of Baton Rouge in my church, the mayor Baker in my church, the Mayor Walker of my church, had the chief of police in there, the sheriff in there, had the captain of the commander of the state troopers, had the district attorney all at one time. So I said, it is so good to have these dignitaries here today. We will just have a short rock and roll service and we'll be gone. Man, I got up and blowed the walls out. You say you did that on purpose. Well, when you go hunting, what do? You don't just say, here's a deer. Boom, 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 boom. You say, huh? See, Peter Cartwright, he wouldn't be welcome in your church. Because one time Andrew Jackson slipped in on the back row while Peter Cartwright was preaching, and he had a group of preachers behind him, and he's just up preaching, and one of them reached up and said, hey, the general's here. And Peter Cartwright, he just kept on preaching. And another one said, hey, behind, he said, the general's here. He said, if Andrew Jackson don't get saved, he's going to hell like everybody else. That's when we had what we called a backbone. Andrew Jackson walked up to him later and said, sir, if I could command my men the way you preach, I'd never lose another battle. The district attorney walked out there that morning, and my wife heard him say to his wife, we've been to church today. We've been to church today. After that, the sheriff would come. He'd come not often, but every now and then he'd say, preacher, I don't want you to tell anybody I'm here. He said, just don't tell him. He said, I want you to come. He said, I want to come. I was up, about to have a mission conference, and I got up and said, well, folks, we need a little extra money for a mission conference. The sheriff and his wife was there. And I was preaching along, and I said, if everybody in this city preached like I did, we'd have a different city around here. I said, if the Methodists and the Catholics and the Baptists and the beer drinkers and everybody preached like I did, we'd have a different city. Later on that week, I got a little note in the mail in an envelope about this big. It said, personal, Pastor Bob Buchanan. I opened it, it was from the sheriff's wife. She said, here's $50 for your mission conference. And she said, by the way, sir, we visited every church in this city. I wish everyone would preach like you did. Look at me. Now, you kids, don't do this. You used to preach like that. I don't care who's that. I get to help them every year. They have a Memorial Day. May is Law Month, if you know that. And they have a memorial for every officer slain in the line of duty, and I get to go down and help them with it. So one year, the sheriff called the office, and he said, ask Brother Buchanan to come a little early. And I went down, sat down in his office, and he sat out behind his desk, and he said, me and Miss Litchfield was, by the way, both of them in heaven today. He said, me and Mr. Litchfield was a ball game the other day, and a kid hit a foul ball, and he said, she came over the fence and hit her in the side. And he said, we didn't think nothing about it, but he said, later on, he said, now, Preacher Day, she's sick. He said, she had a growth growing that thing from that ball hitting her. And I said, let's pray. He said, that's why I asked you to come. Matter of fact, the mayor, used to be the mayor, we was having one of those, we had to have an inside, usually have an outside. So I was walking along with the sheriff, and I said, if you weren't afraid of your wife, you'd join our church. She's a Methodist. He said, you're going to get me in trouble. I said, I'm just telling you the truth. You ought to be a man. I was just joking with him, you know, because he's carrying a gun. I wouldn't. And so the mayor appoints the chief of police in Louisiana. And so we walk in, and the mayor looks around, and we're about to have a new, Mr. Rohe, the boy's daddy was the chief that night. We're about to get a new police chief, and the mayor looked around. He saw me. He said, there's my new chief of police right there. And the sheriff said, oh, no, not him. If you run a stop sign, he'd give you the electric chair. You see, I think we're going to have electric bleachers and just clear out death row. That's what the Bible says if you want to cleanse the land. So I bet nobody comes to hear you preach. Come see. Daniel Webster said, human reason never has been and unquestionably never will be a match for ambition, selfishness, and other evil passions of men. On the other hand, opposed to the force of these passions, constitutions and laws are generally found to become mere cobwebs and gossamer. The principles of all genuine liberty and of wise laws and administrations are to be drawn from the Bible and sustained by its authority. The man, therefore, who weakens or destroys the divine authority of that book may be accessory to all the public disorders which society is doomed to suffer. What's going on today? In my view, boy, I like this one. In my view, there are two powers only which are sufficient to control men and secure the rights of individuals and a peaceful administration. These are the combined effort force of religion and law and the force of fear of the bayonet. Boy, I didn't get much help there. If you got on silk underwear, stand up. Now, men. Listen to this. Let me get back to my thought. I'll remember that. That's all you guys will remember. Listen to this. He said, these are the combined force of religion and law and the force and fear of the bayonet. Hang on. The Bible is the chief moral cause of all that is good and the best corrector of all that is evil in human society. The best book for regulating the temporal concerns of men, and the only book that can serve as an infallible guide to future felicity. Now, young people, listen to me. God knows where you are. You're not in a Christian school just to get away from all that other stuff. You're here. You're the leaders of tomorrow. You say, you think God's going to spare America? I believe we pray, He can. I believe that. And you're going to be our leaders. Now, we need some more old-fashioned, fundamental, blow in the bottle, spit in the wall, shout, how you're a Baptist church preachers with a flame jumping out your nose about that far. But it wouldn't hurt if some of you sat on a city council or were a governor. It wouldn't hurt. Or a senator or a representative. It wouldn't hurt. Now, help us for your sake and your generation. Help us get that foundation back. I've taken too long. Dear God, I love this country. In your wise wisdom, I wasn't born in Iraq or Afghanistan or some pagan, heathen country. You let me be born in America. Sorry as I was before I saved. One Wednesday night right over here in Diamond Hill on 40 years ago, I knelt and said, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. And right then and there, you saved me. And me and my sweet wife had to start a new generation because our generation preceding us wasn't much in our family. Dear God, when you called me to preach, what a strange thing that was. And I don't want to be unpopular. I don't want to be unkind. But I have 3 children. I now have 9 grandchildren. And now in my church in Baton Rouge, there are sweet young couples that have babies and children. Oh, dear God. Help me. Help me. Please help me to help people see Jesus and do my part to get our crumbling foundation back to birth a culture again. That when truth is spoken, people say, well, that come from the Word of God. Amen. Oh, God, I just can't believe it's over. And if it is, I'm going to struggle till the end. But help me today, dear Lord Jesus. And help these young people. Oh, God, may it burn in their breast to say, I'll be a Daniel or a Joseph or one of the 3 Hebrew boys. And there will be a real God in my life. And people will see a real God in my life and my family. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege of preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.